Psalm 119. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 57. It says, "The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." Let me pray for us. Lord, we do ask today you would teach us your word. Teach us to have a resolve in our heart to obey and honor your word, doing it by your grace, doing it by your strength, because you are our portion and our salvation. Lord, open eyes here today that we may love you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, often this time of year, the beginning of a new year, people tend to make resolutions. That is, they tend to put a plan together or things that they promise or they're committing to do for that year. As I thought about that, as we're coming into this new year from this passage, I want to challenge each of us to have the same resolution, the same resolve, as is given to us here in verse 57, where the psalmist says here, "I have promised, I have been resolved to keep your words." As we have walked through the first 56 verses of Psalm 119 over really the last couple of years, what we see is a man of God, we see a true believer that's desiring to grow in his knowledge of God, desiring to grow in godliness. And front and center to this whole psalm of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. And here he is making a promise, he's making a resolution to keep God's Word. And notice in verse 57 at the very beginning of that verse, this is motivated by that statement, "because the Lord is my portion." The word "portion" there speaks of inheritance. It speaks of a possession. So when he says, "the Lord is my portion," he's saying, "the Lord is my God. I know God. I know Him. I enjoy having Him in my life, and I want to have more of Him in my life." It says, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "for me to live is Christ." Just to understand this idea of the Lord being our portion, look back with me for just a moment in the book of Numbers. Go to Numbers chapter 18 for just a moment. And in Numbers chapter 18, as they're divvying up, they're talking about the duties of the Levites and one day the giving of land. Here's what he tells to the Levites here. In Numbers chapter 18 and verse 20, it says there, "Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them.'" Here's why: I am your portion. I'm your inheritance among the sons of Israel. And here, the psalmist is saying, this is the Lord is my portion. He's my inheritance. He is my life. And it is out of this desire, this reality in his heart, that he makes the statement that he does back in our text. When he says there in verse 57, "the Lord is my portion, I have promised," that is, "I have said that I would keep his words." He wants the Lord to become more of his life. And he knows if that is happening, when he is in loving obedience to the Word of God. That whatever his words are, that's what he wants in his life. So, beloved, as we're looking at this resolution, before we jump into this, again, the first things first, can you even say this morning, the Lord is my portion? That is, he's my inheritance. He's my life. He's my possession. Can you say, as Paul says, for me to live is Christ? That's not for the super spiritual. That's just for the believer. I hope and pray you can. And if you can, then that means you have tasted of the Lord. You've tasted of his kindness. You've tasted of his goodness. You've tasted of his grace. You've tasted of his mercy. You've tasted of his forgiveness. You've just tasted of God himself, and you should desire to want more of him, of who he is. So here's the resolution I want to propose for all of us here today. It is this, that all of us would leave here saying, Lord, I want you more. I want you. I want to possess more of a relationship with you. Thus, I am resolved to keep your words. I am resolved to keep your words. Now, as you look at the rest of the passage, verse 58 to 64, they're really, he's letting us know how it is that he has kept this promise. How it is that he can actually keep his word of saying, I promise to keep your words, and here's what I did. Here's what I will keep doing in order to do that. So if you truly want to have that resolution in your heart, and I pray you do, because the Lord is your portion, then here is how he's going to lay it out before us of how to do that. The first thing I want you to see there in verse 58 is you're going to have to ask for God's grace. That is, you're going to have to ask God to help you. Notice what he says, I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. You see, beloved, you are not going to keep this resolution in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own power. It will only be done by the grace of God. It reminds me of what we talked about when we were going through the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 2, where he says there in verses 11 through 14, the grace of God, if it has appeared and truly appeared to you, then one of the things it should be doing in your life is instructing you on how to live. It will be instructing you about denying certain things like ungodliness and worldly desires, and instructing you to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this age, and doing it from the heart, doing it from our desires. You see, notice what he says. He says, I have sought your favor with all my heart. That is, he's saying, Lord, I want no secrets in my life, no secret sins, no secret desires in my heart. I don't want to hold anything back. I don't want to reserve a certain section of my life from you. I want your favor. I want your grace working in every single area of my life. Go all the way down to the depths of my soul. Go down to my heart. Go down to my desires. I want it instructing me through it all. Beloved, obviously for him to do this, and for us to do this, calls for us to keep asking God in humility for the strength, for the grace, for what we're going to need to keep his word and to seek him in his word. When he says there, be gracious to me, God. Be gracious to me according to your word. He knows that as he's seeking to keep the word of God, he's going to sometimes fall on his face. He's going to sometimes fail. And he's saying, Lord, please be gracious to me according to your word. Thus, when I need forgiveness, please provide the forgiveness. When I need to be disciplined, provide the discipline. When I need to be pruned, prune me. When I need to be encouraged, encourage me. Whatever, just be gracious to me according to your word. I'm not asking for something that goes against the word of God. I just want you to be gracious to me according to your word. So, well, we have to be pursuing, in that sense, God's grace by saying to God and even saying to ourselves, I can't do this. Lord God, I need you. I need your grace. I need your patience. I need your prodding sometimes. I need your prompting sometimes. I need your pruning sometimes. I need your power at all times. I need you. So that's the first. If we're going to have this resolution where you're going to say and I'm going to say and we're going to say as the people of God, we are resolved to keep God's word, then a part of that has to be that we're seeking him for his grace and strength to do it. But now notice the next thing, verses 59 and 60, they kind of go together. How did he keep his word? Well, obviously he sought the grace of God. But notice in verse 59 and 60, he also said, I considered my ways, I turned my feet to your testimonies, and I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Notice what he did. First thing he did was to do an evaluation. I considered my ways, that as I pondered, I took the time to sit down and to think through my ways. And by my ways there, he's just saying, I was thinking through the way I think. I was thinking through the things I was doing. I sat down and thought through the choices I made, the desires I had, the things I was doing in life, how I was living. I sat down and I did an evaluation of those things. Because if I'm resolved to keep the word of God, it's going to require, obviously, the grace of God in our life, but it's going to require us to make the effort of being willing to sit down and to evaluate our life. This evaluation he does here is not based on the standards of the world, not by looking at others or not by looking or listening to the world, but by looking at what God, as he says here, has testified. The standard of Scripture. What does God say about my life in this area? What does God say about my desires here? What does God say about my decisions I've made here? What does God say about my devotions here? What is God saying about this? So, beloved, for us, we think about it. We need to consider our ways as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a son, as a daughter. As a worker, as a boss, as a citizen, as a member of the community of God's people, as one who professes Christ, we need to do an evaluation of our life so that we can keep God's word, as he says there in verse 57. It requires that we deliberately take the time to look at our life. And notice, he's clearly making an honest evaluation. Because notice he says in verse 59, I considered my ways, and what? I turned my feet. I turned my feet to your testimonies. What's the implications there? He's saying, I came to the conclusion after I sat down and thought through my life and the things going on in my life, I came to the conclusion that there were some things there, some thinking, some decisions, some choices, whatever it was, I saw some things that didn't line up with the Word of God, so I had to turn my feet. I had to stop walking down that way. I had to stop thinking that way. I had to stop doing that thing. I had to stop acting that way. I had to stop. I had to make an adjustment in my life. His thinking, his actions, his priorities, his beliefs, his desires. When he saw it did not agree with what God said, He said, I had to then make a plan to turn my feet, the turning of his feet, to the testimonies, God's testimonies. We see the picture here. It's like he's walking this way, and he realizes this way I'm walking doesn't match with God's testimony, so I've got to turn my feet to walk in another direction. So here's how we can apply this, the implications of this. What does the Bible say about me? Yeah, what does the Bible say about me as a father? What would the Bible say about me as a husband? What would the Bible say about me as a son? What would the Bible say about me as a Christian, as a part of the body of Christ? What does the Bible say about my mouth and the words that come out of my mouth? What does the Bible say about how I handle it when somebody hurts me and does something against me? What does the Bible say? This is what he did. I considered my ways, and then I turned my feet to whatever the Bible testified about that. See, the turning of his feet here speaks to his thinking through a plan to make adjustments, the adjustments that would need to be made in his life. And notice, he didn't stop there in verse 60. And I hastened and I did not delay to keep it. To keep your commandments. See, what I want you to take from that is then don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't make excuses. In some sense, it's easier to sit down and to evaluate. It's even sometimes easier to sit down and make a plan, but to actually do it. Think about in our finances at times. We can sit down and make an evaluation of our finances. We may even could write out a budget for our finances. But then the hard part comes to, will I execute it? Will I actually do what it is that I know that I need to do? What I want you to see here is if we are resolved and we can come to the end of this year and you can say, I promised to keep your word and I kept your words, then that would be because I have been out throughout this year considering my ways as I'm going, turning my feet when I need to turn, and then I start doing it immediately. I don't procrastinate. I start acting upon what I know, what the word of God says. Because the Lord's my portion and I just want to keep his words. What I want to plead with you this morning, if you struggle with this, is stop waiting for the right time, for the right circumstance, for the right moment, and start. God wants execution, not excuses. And this is what he's saying. And beloved, I also know this. I have no doubt that every single one of us here today, including myself, need to be turning our feet. That if we genuinely sit down and evaluate our life according to the Word of God, and we do that on a regular basis, we'll be turning our feet to His testimonies. Now, it's not going to be all roses when you do it. It wasn't for him. Notice what he says there in verse 61. He says, the cords of the wicked have encircled me. He's letting you know that as he's been seeking to keep the word of God, he's had people and circumstances in his life that have been fighting against that. They've been putting snares out there for him. In fact, if you look over in verse 110, look at 110 there. It says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. No matter the circumstances, even if your circumstances are not ideal, even if your circumstances are difficult and poor, and I don't mean financially poor, I just mean poor in the sense of for keeping the word of God. It's far from being ideal to walk in obedience to God's word. He's saying here is you still have to persevere. That is, you still have to be committed that I, as he says there in verse 61, I will not forget God's word. I won't turn away from God's word. I won't stop relying on God's word. I will keep remembering what the Word of God says. I'll keep depending on Him. I'll keep depending on His words. I will not take things and matters into my own hands, but I'll keep depending on God and His Word, even when it's difficult. Even when it's difficult. And beloved, it's going to be difficult. There will be times in our life when you're seeking to truly keep the Word of God. There's going to be ways in which people are going to be pressing on you. Circumstances are going to be pressing on you. Just forget about all that. I mean, why are you staying so faithful to that? Just give that up and make your life a lot easier. What he's saying is to keep this promise, you have to make the resolve that you will not forget God's law. You won't forget what the Word of God has to say. Now notice something else. As we're seeking to fulfill this promise, this resolution, to keep God's words. Notice what he says now in verse 62. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. What's he trying to get across there? He's saying that throughout this, especially as the days got hard, and the cords of the wicked were encircling him, he was being very intentional to be thankful to God for His Word. What I see there in verse 62 that's going to be required of us is that we maintain an attitude of thanksgiving towards God and His Word, and we maintain an actions of praise, praising God, having a thankful heart that God has graciously chosen to reveal Himself to us, to reveal His ways to us in His Word. Oh, beloved, be thankful that you live in a time and place where when you get up at midnight, you can thank God for His Word. You can actually read His Word that very moment. See, this reality alone lets us know that we always have something to be thankful to God for in our life. As a believer, life is never without something for us to give thanks for, because we always have access to the Word of God. And I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you that even the next time you wake up in the middle of the night, maybe you can't go back to sleep, take some time to give thanks to God. Give thanks to Him for His Word. Even take a moment to think about a verse. Take a moment, if you can, open up the Bible and read it, and just give Him thanks. He is so thankful because of God's righteous ordinances, what God is righteously ordaining. He's saying, look, I just thank God. It's on my heart. It's on my mind. That's why when I wake up at midnight, I'm willing to give thanks to Him. Beloved, for us to keep the Word of God, we have to have the Word of God on our heart. We have to have it on our mind. It has to be in our thoughts. So that when we get up, and we rise, one of the first things we want to do is give thanks. Give thanks to our God. Now, look at verse 63. It must include other people in our life. He says in verse 63, as he has been keeping this promise to keep the words of God, one of the things involved in that has been, in verse 63, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. A companion. A relationship. A partnership. A bond with others. And notice he says, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Beloved, this is pivotal as well in our desire to keep and honor and obey the Word of God. We tend to think of it just being this individual, personal journey. And yes, you are personally accountable to God, but God has so designed the life of following Him that He wants us to do it with His people. We have to be a companion. We have to have companions in our life. We have to have people in our life, as He says here, who have a true reverence for God, and those who have a true reverence for God seek the wisdom of God from the Word of God, and it is those who then want to keep what the Word of God is saying. They revere it and they want to obey it. And He is saying that one of the ways that I have been able to keep God's Word is by having companions, people in my life that are going in that direction. People who share that reverence for God. People who share that reverence for the Word of God. But let me ask you this morning, do you have such companions? Do you have such companions, or do you seek to be by yourself? Do you have companions in your life that are you can be with, that have this reverence for God and a hunger for the Word of God to keep it? If not, you need to find someone. But even more important to that, you need to become that someone. You need to become that someone who is the companion, who others would look to and say, that's the companion I want. I want to have that bond with that person. Why? Because when I look at their life, I see the reverence they have for the Word of God. I see their desire to obey the Word of God. May I encourage you, be attracted to godliness, not gossip. Be attracted to godliness and not gaudiness. Be attracted to godliness and not goofiness. Like, this person's just fun to be around. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not going to help you in your walk with the Lord. Be attracted to godliness, not gifts. That is, what they make and do for you in your life as far as the things they make and give you. No, he says here, I am a companion of all those who have a reverence for you, God, those who keep your precepts. This is something that we need, every one of us. In case you're sitting there thinking, I don't need that, you do. I need it. Every one of us need people in our lives in that way, that are ministering to us. Now let's look at verse 64. Because really he kind of ends in some sense with again another attitude and actions of humility and dependence. He makes an interesting statement. He says, the earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. He's saying, one of the things I do in seeking to keep your words is I just reflect on your common grace. I mean, the earth is full of your loving kindness. I can look around at general revelation. I can look around at the common grace operating around me in the lives of people. And even from that, I can be encouraged. But he knows he needs more than that. Thus, the request at the end of verse 64, teach me your statutes. I request special revelation. That is, I request illumination of the Scriptures, Lord. I cannot keep your word unless you teach me. You see, we can learn some things just by looking and seeing what's going on around us in the grace of God. But ultimately, we need God to work in such a way that He teaches us what the Scriptures say? So he starts, as I said, with an attitude and action of humility and dependence when he says in verse 58, I seek your favor. I know I can't do this without grace. And then he's closing it out here in verse 64 of saying, I can't do it without your work of teaching and illuminating the scriptures in my life. Thus, you have to teach me what your word says and means. Here's what I know. Here's what I believe. One, every one of us, every one of us have things that need to be adjusted in our life. But also know this, if every one of us here will actually make this resolution and keep that resolution, our personal life will be different. Our family life will be different. Our church life will be different. We will be different. You can't help but be different if by the grace and the enabling power of God, we are evaluating our ways and then turning our feet to whatever the Word of God says and hastening to keep it as quickly and as often as we can and giving an attitude of thankfulness and praise because of what God has ordained and knowing that when we fail, He forgives us and I'm seeking out the companions of others that are helping me to walk in that fear and admonition of the Lord and I'm looking around me at the common grace of what's taking place and I keep asking God, teach me your Word, teach me your word, and as you teach it to me, I will hasten to obey it. I will hasten to use it to evaluate my life and my thinking and my desires and my choices. I will look at what I am and who I am and what I'm doing, and I will seek to obey it. Beloved, if we are consistently looking to do that and actively looking to do that, our lives will be changed. And changed by the grace of God. And your life, your family, and our church will be different. It'll be different this time next year. It'll be different. And I would even say for some of us probably here today, your life could be eternally different because the Lord has not been your portion. He has not been your life. You have desired to live your own way and to push away God and His Word. And I want to encourage you to surrender. Surrender to God. Put your faith in Him. Put your faith in His Son, the only Savior, your only hope, so that the Lord will be your portion. He will be your life. He will be your everything. So I don't know. I don't know what God may be dealing with your heart about. Obviously, there can be many things that could come to your heart and your attention from this morning, but pick one of those. Say, Lord, help me. And you'll know if you walk out of here and obey the Word of God. Because if you do, you'll go out of here and at some point throughout the week to come, you'll be seeking the Lord's favor. You'll start evaluating your life and looking at what the Word of God says. And whatever you see that's different, you'll look to change by God's grace. And if you say, I'm not going to do that, well then okay, then you're not going to obey what the Word of God says. It's that simple. It's really that simple for me, for you, for all of us. Somebody's going to walk out of here today and say, there is nothing in my life that needs to change. I know I've got it all together. Everything's good. My feet are all on the right path. There's no thoughts. There's no desires. There's no decisions. There's nothing going on in my life that needs to be adjusted. Beloved, you see the grace of God that's there to help us if we will acknowledge it and do what it is He calls on us to do. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment. And I truly want to encourage you, exhort you, to have this kind of resolve in your heart to want to keep the Word of God, call out to God for His grace, be willing to take some time, at least in one area of your life, say, Lord, help me to evaluate my ways here according to what Scripture teaches. And then let me turn my feet to the right way and hasten to do it. Help me to be thankful. Teach me. Let me be a companion of others that are going to be pointing me to godliness and Christ-likeness. You take a moment in your time before the Lord and your response to Him. Gracious God, I do truly pray that everyone can leave here today saying, the Lord's my portion. And everyone can leave here today with a true hunger and desire and a resolve in their heart to keep your words, to do it as you have laid out for us here in this passage. Oh, Lord, minister to our hearts today. And, Lord, for anyone that's here today that's lost, Lord, save them. Draw them to yourself. Just do your gracious work of saving and sanctifying here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.